Inside Speedway is brought to you by P1 Australia and by Speedway Classics Magazine, on sale now. From the dirt tracks across Australia, welcome to Inside Speedway with Dennis Newland and Craig Revell.
Hello and welcome to Inside Speedway. What a week it has been in the sprint car ranks, with Brock Hallett showing a fantastic last corner pass to take out the 50th running of the Grand Annual Classic at Warrnambool, and to grab it over Sheldon Hortonchild in the final turn. It was a grandstand finish if ever there was one. And great to see last year's champion Lachie McHugh up on the podium as well. It was an amazing week of racing, from Avalon to Mount Gambier for the King's Classic, and then on to the three nights. Well, you could talk about it being two nights, I guess, with the rain forcing the Saturday evening racing to be moved to Sunday afternoon. But it was record-breaking in so many different ways. 8,000 lockout crowd at Premier Speedway. He's the 28th different winner and the 7th Australian driver to take the 50th Classic. And Brock Hallett will join us on the show. But we'll run through the final placings of the A Main. Brock Hallett taking the win. Sheldon Hortonchild, second place. Lachie McHugh, third. Jock Gooder, who had a good win up in Queensland leading into the week, he finished in fourth place. And James McFadden, who defended his King's Challenge, finishing in fifth place in that Hodges Motorsport entry. And we'll hear from the man who put together the Hodges Motorsport team a little bit later on in the show. Tate Frost, Corey Ellison from the United States, Kerry Madsen, Aaron Ritzel, also one of the United States drivers, and then Jamie Veal rounding out the top 10. It was some great racing. It was an exciting finish, as I mentioned, and in just a moment, we'll hear from Brock Hallett. We're joined on this week's show by the winner of the 50th Grand Annual Classic at Warrnambool. And Brock Hallett, what has your week been like since taking that championship on Sunday night?
It's been obviously incredibly busy. A lot of phone calls, a lot of media stuff. But, loving it all. And, still very well overwhelmed with everything that's gone on. It's definitely come to a big shock to the system.
Can you sit us in the car? You're leading the race. Hortonchild makes the move, gets in front of you. How many laps were you in the mindset of, I know I can do the outside pass if I have to?
Yeah, I probably, once he got past me, I think there was about five or six to go, and I was really struggling trying to get through lap traffic, just couldn't get the cars cleared, and that's how he got underneath me. And then I sort of had a bit of a rethink, and then, obviously probably my last two laps were my best, really. I sort of had a really good line, had a really good run, and his probably last two laps was his worst of the whole race. So he had a bit of a, I don't know whether he hooked a rod or had a bit of a moment coming out of two, and I had a really good run, and I was going where he wasn't into four, and he went to the bottom, so I was going over top, and I honestly didn't think I was close enough to do it, but it turns out that I was close enough.
It was a remarkable pass, and knowing the back markers were playing such a factor in the race, were you sort of heading down into one and just looking at where the back markers were to see if, as you said, if he goes low, you're high. If he goes high, you're going low no matter what. Were you looking at the back markers to try and get a read on where he might sit it on the track?
Yeah, he was trying to pass one of the back markers, and he would have known it was the last lap, and you know, he probably thought he had it in the bag. He just had to sort of roll across the finish line. So he played it safe and obviously went to the bottom, and I don't know whether the back marker balked him up a bit, but I had a nice clean track up the top and sort of gave it everything I had. And I wasn't sure whether it was going to pay off or I was going to end up in the fence. But happy it did and happy to win by, I think it was a car length in the end. But yeah, just to race with him for 40-odd laps and race clean and say we beat one of the best in the world.
Your team is a team that has a lot of different interests, a lot of different fingers in the pie. But since you launched in August, it's just gone from strength to strength.
Yeah, obviously we haven't been working very long together. It has only been since August. So to pull off such a big win at an early stage is pretty incredible. And I'm really looking forward to see what the future with G&W Racing brings. And overwhelmed by all the support and everyone getting behind me.
It's been building quite well too, hasn't it? Because you went up to the Chariots of Thunder, took a win on one of the nights there, and then getting wins up there at Archer Field and then just building your momentum right throughout the Classic Week.
Yeah, we've been quite consistent this year. That's probably something in the past that I've lacked is consistency. We'd have a couple of good nights and then a few bad nights. So we sort of set a goals on trying to be consistent most nights really have sort of achieved that. We ended up winning the Queensland New South Wales Speed Week Series just after Christmas and got second a couple of times up there and then had a pretty consistent King's Challenge, which is the night before the Classic and ran fourth. So to be able to do that with the team is good for them. It's good for my confidence. And obviously with doing heaps of racing and trying to race as much as we can allows me to stay in the car and keep my eye in.
Now, your team, G&W, Graham and Wendy, are up there in Queensland. You're down in Victoria. How did you build that relationship and where did that all come about, that partnership?
A lot of this stuff doesn't happen overnight. We've sort of been in contact for several years. One of their employees that works for GW Racing, Nathan, I've known Nathan a long time and he's helped me out to meet Graham and Wendy, and then we've just built over the years, and here we are now. So last season, Graham helped me out with a bit of sponsorship and helped me get my own car going and running, and then this year he wanted to take over the team and rebuild GW Racing, and it turned out he's put a very professional outfit together, and look forward to running with him many years ahead.
You are from Brisbane originally, so any thoughts about going back north?
No, not at all. I'm happy down here in Portland. It's definitely a lot of big races are down here, and it works well that we sort of have two home bases, so we can keep some stuff in Queensland and keep some equipment down at my place as well. And the transporter just sort of runs between the two, and there's certain parts of the year where we race in Queensland and certain parts where we race down here. So it actually probably is more of a help than a hindrance.
And your background, you work at Kemp Engineering in Portland. What's been your career outside of racing like?
I haven't been to work for a while. It's racing sort of turned into the main priority now and my main source of income. So it's, obviously Kemp be a very understanding of that, and they help me sort of chase my dream. So depending on how the season rolls out and what happens in the off season, we'll probably end up back there. But for the meantime, my main focus is racing and obviously trying to get that Australia One next week.
Talking about that, it's the perfect build up for going to the Kwinana Motorplex and the Australian Championship for the open sprint car division.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, being able to win the Classic is pretty much, I believe, is probably a better achievement than winning the Aussie title, for sure, with obviously the amount of cars and the amount of, American stars that came out to race. But nothing sort of tops off having that big number one on your car as well. So it's not too many people can do it in the same year. I don't know how many times it's been done, but we really want to make sure that we give our best chance and at least get a nice, strong result.
It's the 59th running. It was Marcus Dumsny that has the A1 on his car this year. And I'm not sure, did they have to cancel it last year because of COVID?
So last year went ahead. It was at Brisbane at Archerfield Speedway. And then I'm pretty sure the previous 2 years it got cancelled. So, which Jamie Veal held it for several years because yeah, he was the last one to win it. But no, it's going to be tough. All the good guys are going to WA. I think there's 50 odd cars which will be there, and definitely the best in Australia will be there. So it's going to be a nice challenge. Lucky enough, I've done some lap in WA a couple of years ago, so it's not super unfamiliar. But obviously, taking the GW Racing equipment over there for the first time, really looking forward to it. I like the track over there and the driving style. So yeah, hopefully we can chat in a couple of weeks about it.
Yeah, the 60th running of the championship, and well, let's face it, you've got pretty good form in the 50th. So maybe the 60th is also a good omen for you over there in Western Australia. You said you've had a busy week of media. What has it been like compared to, say, when you won up at the Chariots of Thunder?
Yeah, so I ran second at the one night of the Chariots of Thunder. So, yeah, I didn't get a win up there. But definitely the messages, the messages, personal messages have been really overwhelming. A lot of people want to buy merchandise and get in contact, which is really, really cool. I've tried to just not build it up too much. You know, as big as a race is, you're only as good as your last race. So the main focus now is obviously trying to do well at this Aussie title and, yeah, obviously try and enjoy as much as I can what happened last weekend, but, you know, really focus on what's ahead.
What is ahead is a different race, as you said, than the Classic, because unless they've changed the rules, it's no international drivers. This is an all-Australian battle at the Australian Sprint Car Championship.
Yeah, that's correct. So all the Americans pretty much all headed home, and they start racing in the next week or so for their main series over there. So we're lucky enough that we get to race with the Americans at the Classic, and prior shows to that. But yeah, definitely the Aussie title. There's a lot more Australia pride, I guess, going on. Everyone tries to be the best and get that number one, and you get to obviously carry that number one. So it's a constant reminder that they won it, and we hope that that's us.
And the Kiwanis Circuit, you've gone from Avalon, which in my entire lifespan has never had one more line, and normally it's down on the pole. You go to Mount Gambier, where you can run anywhere, and of course you proved that any line's a winning line there, making the pass in the final turn.
Yeah, obviously Warrnambool really dished up a great racetrack for the final on Saturday night. You know, many people have said it's one of the best races they've seen there, so it was cool to be able to go in that last corner pass. But Perth Motorplex is definitely the same. You know, it provides excellent racing. It's probably one of the most consistent and raciest racetracks we have here in Australia, and there's a lot of good local cars over there that just race there, and they're really good at that place. So it's going to be tough for us Eastern Staters to come over there and run with them, but hopefully we can really steal it off them.
Yes, indeed. February 8 is the prelude to the championship at Kiwanis, and then from the 10th through to the 11th, it's full on for a big Australian Sprint Car Championship. Brock, it's been a pleasure catching up with you, and we do wish you all the best. When does the truck leave? Is everything cleaned, ready to go now, or have you still got quite a bit of work to get the car prepped?
So obviously yesterday we had a bit of a lazy day, and you know, we had a pretty big night celebrating, so got a little bit done today. We'll finish off later in the week. We don't have a lot to do. Truck's basically got everything we need already in it, so I'm going to head off. I've got to drive the truck to Perth. I'll head off on probably Saturday and then roll in Monday night, Tuesday, something like that. So looking forward to it. Really keen to get back over there and try and get a number one.
And for those, gratuitous plug time now, Brock, for those who do want to get a Brock Hallett hat, hoodie, T-shirt, what's the best way?
Yeah, so we have an online store coming soon. That'll be on the Brock Hallett Motorsport Facebook page, or Just message Brock Hallett direct, and I'll try and help you out.
Brock, congratulations once again. A fantastic effort and a thrilling way to become the 50th Classic Champion. I know you'll be featured in Tony Loxley's book when it comes out in a very short period of time.
Cool. No, awesome. Thank you.
Brock Hallett joining us there on Inside Motorsport. Tim Hodges was the man who put together the James McFadden battle. Hodges, a Warrnambool local, grew up going to the Classic, and our own Tony Whitlock spoke to him following an exciting night.
And I'm with Tim.